pray. Father, we thank you today for another opportunity to hear the word of God. And we pray, Lord, for your blessing upon this service. In Jesus' name, amen. Right. Please be seated. And I want to begin by reminding you again that next Sunday is Founders Day. Is it not amazing? Is it fantastic? Wow, it's powerful. Amen. So we're blessed, and it's a good thing for the church. Amen. Because when the church remembers its founder, it's not just the person, but the person's values. Amen. And when you forget a person, you know, what you forget is much more than a human being. And you take someone like Martin Luther King, he's remembered. When you mention his name, suddenly something comes to mind, isn't it? Yeah, so, and without his name, that something just doesn't exist. And that something is just not even strong enough. You see what I'm saying? So, God uses people to accomplish things. And for us to continue to enjoy the blessings that their values have brought to us, we need to remember the person. Are you getting what I'm saying? Remember the person. And it's not human worship. It's not idolizing someone. You know, it's none of those. Are you getting what I'm saying? But we need to understand what we're doing. That someone is being remembered because of what the person stands for. What the person represents in your life and what the person has accomplished for you. Amen. And that's a good thing. It's a good thing for a church. Hallelujah. Today, some churches, especially very old ones, don't look very much like the people who founded them intended them to be. How do you know that? You just have to take a book and start reading about the person. Yeah. If you just start reading the history books and the biographies and so on about the person who founded such and such church, then you begin to wonder whether it's the same church. Because, and it's not a surprise, because you see that when you go some of those places also, you see that that person's name is not there anymore. You get it? And somehow we get so religious and so whatever. I don't know what the word is. I'm sure if I find one, I'll come back and tell you what is the most appropriate word. But you know, sometimes people, and Jesus had that problem with the Pharisees and people around him, you see. They, like when somebody was doing, you know, the alabaster box of ointment, some lady came and she broke the alabaster thing. I mean, some people, the word is indignation. Do you know the meaning of the word indignation? Can someone tell us, those of you who have these fancy things, devices that tell meanings of words, right? Tell us the meaning of indignation. Indignation. Indignation.
Indignation.
Yes.
Anger or annoyance.
Anger or annoyance. Uh-huh.
Provoked by what is perceived as unfair treatment.
Look at that. Anger or annoyance provoked by what is perceived as unfair treatment. Do you see what I'm saying? Pastor Charles, what do you have?
His strong displeasure at something considered unjust, offensive, insulting, or base, righteous anger. Forget it.
It says, strong what?
Displeasure.
At something that is considered
unjust. Offensive. Insulting.
Or
base.
Wow. You see. So you can see that. See, and this is the word that is used to describe the feelings of people who were around. Do you see? People who were around when, let me read it to you. It's Mark chapter 4 and 14, sorry, and verse 4. Mark chapter 14, verse 4. And they said that, verse 3, and being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And very precious is the same as very expensive, you see. And she broke the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation. Let's put the meaning there. There were some that had what? Just read it. Strong what? There were some that had strong displeasure
at something considered unjust.
At what was happening, they considered it unjust,
offensive,
insulting,
or base.
Right? They had this within themselves. Do you get it? So you need to watch the feelings that are not expressed. You see, because just because it's not expressed doesn't mean it's not there, number one. And number two, just because it's not expressed doesn't mean God didn't catch it. Do you see what I'm saying? Because why is this here? Why is it? Because it was within themselves. It was within themselves. So how did it get to be reported here? Do you see the thing? Yeah. And that's why the scripture says all things are naked and exposed to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. And you know, why did they have that feeling? What did they say? It says, they asked, they said, why was this waste of the ointment made? You know, why was this waste of the... First of all, even the context where Jesus is, he's in the house of somebody called Simon the leper. You get it? The guy was a leper. And Jesus had come to his house. I don't know if Jesus had healed him or I don't know what it is, but for some reason, see, because people don't really associate with lepers, at least in this culture. At the time, being leprous weren't good. You see, it weren't good at all to be a leper. You see the thing? Right. But no one is even commending him for that. You see, but when this lady comes and she comes to break this ointment, she says, and they're saying that, why was this waste of the ointment, you know, made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. Because there are some people who see money in everything. You get it? They understand only money. Everything is money. You get it? When they see a new church has started, instead of thinking souls, they just think, wow, you're going to make money. You see, they start to think money. See, a man of God starts to preach. They say, oh, wow, he's after money. It's something to do with money. You know, even some people go to church and they try to just, the whole experience is evaluated, you know, in terms of money. You understand? Even one of the reasons why people do not go to church is they just calculate the monetary loss, the gas to church, you know, and you know, when I get to church, they're going to talk about tithes and offerings, and then special offering, and then they work out the math, and then they see that no, I will not do it. You get it? It weren't good. You see, it weren't good. But we have to be very careful about our hearts. Do you understand? See, money is a good thing, but money must not be worshipped. Do you understand? But money has an advantage in the sense that money, because of what it does, because of the number of things it answers, it easily makes you worship it. Because it has many solutions. Isn't it? There's actually a verse in the Bible that says, money answers. I tell you, money is a memory verse, actually. Yeah, money answers everything. You see what I'm saying? Now, if you have something that answers everything, you know why people will have an idol? They expect that it will answer everything. You see what I'm saying? So money answers everything, and that makes people easily fall for money worship, or at least assign a value to it that does not really belong to it, that should really be going to God. Do you see? If we look at this process, it might have been sold for, and even somebody already has the price. Yeah. You see, the person, you see, where is that? Right here. Oh my goodness. 300 pence equals 300 denarii, and that's about $25,000. Yeah. See, people start to think about their car payments. See, when they have to speak out, they said that it might be given to the poor. You see, yeah. But what the people were really thinking, you see, was their own. But look, if you even sold it and shared it, even 1,000 a piece, at least 25 of us, you see, we will assume that, well, the apostles, they are the main guys. They will take, so at least they will just take 12 out. There will still be about 12 out of this, means there's 13 left. At least it will get to some of us. We, the main Pharisees, we, the main guys around here, it will get to us. You get it? Our mortgages, our car notes. How do you just splash this on a preacher? Why? Others for chops up. I mean, you, this lady, we are in the church with you. You have this. And you've been watching us. You see, yeah, you've been watching us. And you're not moved by our needs. You see the thing. And then this man, who doesn't even have any needs. You get it? With this man, who doesn't even, because when he's hungry, he can make bread. At least so they said at the last meeting, that they were hungry and they brought a little boy's bread. And he just multiplied it and he made bread. The other day they said he was at a wedding, there was no wine. He made water into wine. You get it? Now how come those who have the power to make food are the ones who get such waste? It's not fair. It's unjust. That's the indignation. Yeah. Do you understand that? So they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Did you see that? Jesus said what? Let her alone means leave her alone means shut up. Hallelujah. If Jesus said, shut up, don't complain about the waste. Don't complain about $25,000 being spent on a preacher who doesn't even need it. Jesus said, shut up then. He still says, shut up to now. Yeah. See, when you get into the habit of blocking people's honor, you will find that you will never be honored yourself because you would have blocked all the honor that should come to you. How come? Because the Bible says in Galatians 6:7, which follows Galatians 6:6, that what? Whatsoever a man soweth, that's what he, right. So if you haven't sown honor, that's not what you will reap. You will not reap honor. You will not reap honor only because you have not sown honor. Do you get it? You have, anytime it's time to honor someone, you always have something, some objection. You get it? And it's mostly internal, indignation. It means, I don't know, something about the word suggests it's inside. It's inside. It's indignation. Yeah. Inside digging. Okay. Can you see that? Just be not deceived. Don't be tricked. Don't be tricked. Be not deceived. When people are deceived, it means they believe something is the case when it's not. You see, and that means they expect or think they deserve honor when they really don't. Yeah, some people look and come out down this, I'm the one who did this and that and that and that. Because of that, even nobody is acknowledging and nobody is honoring me. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So if you are in the habit of sowing indignation, you get it, and you have fields and fields of indignation, you get it, you're going to reap a harvest of indignation. You're going to find people arising always and feeling that favors and blessings that are coming your way are unjust. Can you imagine that? Let's take that to your workplace. Just imagine that any time they think of something good concerning you, other people feel is unjust. Think about it. Yeah. You just think about it. You want to work from home because you have your little baby and you want some time to look after your baby. You go and see the boss, and the boss feels for you. And the boss wants to make a way for you. I mean, it's not the norm, but he is the boss. Boss must mean something that not being boss must not mean. Isn't it? Yeah, and the boss has some power. Every boss has a little power that he can wield. So he's about to say yes, but other people around. You see, because anytime they are trying to say yes, then your seeds, your harvest, remember the seeds you sowed, the harvest starts to arise. You see, and they start to speak. They start to say, no, it's not fair. You get, what a waste. How do you let such a skilled person, why would you pay such a skilled person just to stay at home and run after a toddler and be paying the person? It's not fair. It's unjust. It's a bad example. Immediately out goes your working from home. And then you are being made to come to work. And then you see a situation arises where you have to choose between your little kid and the job. And then you give up the job because of your habitual indignation. Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So rather learn to celebrate honor. When people are being honored, celebrate it. Join those who are honoring someone. Do you get it? Because you will soon find, I mean, when you grow up enough, you will soon find out that there are some people whose lives God has blessed in exceptional ways, such that their lives seem to create blessings for others. I mean, you can't help it. You're going to find that's how the world runs. That the world is basically an assembly of people, some of them so blessed and highly favored, that whatever they are blessed with just flows onto others. It creates jobs for people. It makes other people's gifts find meaning. It makes other people's gifts and schooling even make sense. That's how the world is. You go to school and then you learn how to count numbers and count people's money, you know. You can count, very good at counting people's money, but you need someone who has money so you can count. And then the person will give you some. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. You can just write computer programs and so on, then you can make the thing. But you need someone who has an idea that can be written into a program, just so that your programming skills can arise. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. That's how life is. And you just have to accept it. There are some people who are like that. They just exceptionally, and every generation has them. There's no particular age. Every generation has them. You have somebody who just has this idea, and the idea just brings wealth to everybody and creates jobs for people, and jobs and jobs and jobs and jobs. Somebody says, I want to be president. He wants to be president. You don't have any desire to be president. He says he wants to be president, but his desire to be president suddenly makes your skill, your ability to mobilize people, your ability to write speeches, and all of those things are just assembled around that person. And when that person is being honored, you should not despise him. You shouldn't say, oh, but we're all human beings, but why? What? You shouldn't do that. You should respect it. And when you do that, you would have sown a seed, and you will see that what God has also put in you, people will also honor. Do you see what I'm saying? That what you can also do, whatever you can also do. Because you see, sometimes when someone is doing something, if what he's doing is large enough, the little piece you supply suddenly also is magnified. You can even be the one who just wipes his table. But suddenly, because of how high the person has gone, even the one who wipes his table is respected. Yeah, it's the person is respected. I mean, if you saw someone and the person says, oh, I'm the one who wipes Obama's table after he eats breakfast, I think that you are going to respect the person. It don't matter how much you resent. Listen, it's not about Republican. Don't bring voting into the church. Do you understand? It's just the president of the United States, the one who cleans his table. If you knew the person, if I introduce someone to you and say, oh, this is the guy, he works in the White House. He's the one that wipes the table after the president eats every morning. Yeah, you look at him very differently. And if you don't look at him differently, then you do have a problem. Your problem is deeper than how you respond to people. It's that you also cannot see what is something that must be respected. What do you think? Yeah. So Jesus said, leave her alone. Just leave this woman alone. Then he says, why trouble ye her? Then he says, she has wrought a good work on me. I mean, a good work on me. Breaking $25,000 on me is a good work. According to Jesus Christ. You get it? According to Jesus Christ. You get it? Don't ask the finance director. He will say no. Yeah, he will say no. Don't ask him. Don't ask anybody who has to handle those budgets. He will say no. But ask Jesus Christ. What does he think about what the woman just did? And his opinion is different. He says that she has brought what? A good work on me. You know, then he explains it. For ye have the poor with you always. You will always have an opportunity to help a poor person. If that's what you really want to do. Do you understand? Yeah? For ye have the poor with you always. And whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. Whenever you want to, you can do them good. It's not this alabaster box alone that can. And I always wonder why people always think that someone else's money is what must be used to feed the poor. But the one who is saying, what about him? Do you follow what I'm saying? Everybody has something, right? Well, somebody uses his money in a certain way, and you are so jealous, and you talk and say so much about that. It should have been used to stop the poor. It should have been used to do this. What about you? How many people have you given? What about you? You see, a lot of people, they have a problem with the pastor's car that he's driving. No, that car should have been sold so that they use it to rent a place for their church, so that this and that. And that. What about you, your car? Why don't you sell your car? Since you are into selling of cars for renting places for churches and buying instruments for churches, and so why don't you sell your car first? So sell it, and then when you come, then you come and we take the next car. Yeah. Then probably we'll get to the pastor's car. Do you see? But what it is that people do not want to give their own something, and so it makes so much noise, you know. And Jesus said that, but me, ye have not always. And that's what we should be very careful of. We should be very careful that we do not practice the unfortunate culture of honoring people when they are not around. Doing our best for people when doing our best doesn't really matter anymore. Do you see what I'm saying? And we who come from Africa are great at that. Especially those of us who come from Ghana. Because I don't know too much about the rest of right. But I do know that in my country, when people die, you know, one brother told me, his father passed and he traveled from here to go to Ghana and went there for a couple of weeks or so to go bury his father. They didn't give the body to them. He's gone, they finished the funeral and come back. And he sent me a message yesterday and said that his father's body is still at the mortuary. Yeah, because there was a fight in the family over the body. Yeah. And some members of the family would not allow the sons and the immediate family to bury their father. No, I mean, it's a whole something. So they've gone to, can you imagine, his body's taken, gone, done everything, and just come back, and the thing has not happened. The man is still there. Yeah. No, it's the kind of thing that we do. Someone who probably when he was alive, even people to greet him. Even just someone just acknowledging him as a human being. And just, you know, respecting him as a human being, you know, you wouldn't even care about him. Right. And now, suddenly, when he's dead, his body is so valuable that there is a whole feud over it. And so the families cannot agree on even when to bury him, this, that, that. So they had the funeral. They were having the funeral. The body was not there. Yeah. Some people have hijacked it. Yeah. This is the second one I've heard. Yeah, because there was another one where the person told me that when they arrived at the mortuary to go and take the body, they realized some other family members have come to sign out the body and have gone to hide it. Something that can only go bad. Yeah, something whose future is only decomposition. And the people have come to come and sign it out, and they have vanished with it, and they couldn't find the person. Yeah, it's fantastic. Bishop says sometimes that if you want your house to be painted, just die. As soon as you die, the paint will just come up. Everything will just come up. You see, we are like that. We honor people when they die. We buy golden caskets. People wear suits they've never worn before. They put golden rings. Some people even put money. Yeah, they put money. They say there's a river when you're going. There's a river and then there's a transportation, right? It's a toll, right? And you're supposed to use it to pay some people along the way. Just pay them, you know, and then they close. And when you do things like that, then you create a whole new profession called grave looting. You see, which is a lucrative profession. Yeah, these are people who have a little more understanding. You get it? People who think a little deeper, and who have a little more understanding about, you know, the value of things, and also where those things are supposed to be used. That it's here, not there. Yeah. People who don't believe in any of these rivers and so on. And then they go and they try to harvest all these things and put them back in circulation. So you see, that is how it is. So we must be careful. And Jesus was warning the people that, listen, you have to be careful that you do not always have me with you. Amen. When you have an opportunity to honor someone, evaluate it by this same formula that Jesus used, that you may not always have this opportunity. You may not always have this opportunity. Are you understanding what I'm saying? If we believe that Lighthouse Chapel has been a blessing to us, then we must honor whom honor is due, and to do it while we have the chance. What do you think? Yes, to do it while we have the chance. And listen, I'm taking my time to explain this to you because you ought to be able to explain it to someone. What do you think? You ought to be able to explain it to someone. You can open the same passage and go through with them and just see that if Jesus is not against it, it is not wrong. Amen. Yeah. Jesus should have been the first one, the one who came to seek and save the lost. He didn't say anything. The one who came, one of the things he says, I was anointed to preach the good news to the poor. The one whose calling is to preach good news to the poor. He didn't say there's anything wrong with it. He didn't see that as an opportunity to enhance his ministry of preaching to the poor. And he said, leave her alone. Let her do it. It's the right thing. What she's doing is the right thing. You see, it's not about the value. You see, but even the value has something to do with it. You see what I'm saying? It has something to do with it. Because she could also have come to pour water on his feet. What about that? Yeah, fetch some water from River Jordan and come and pour it on his feet. And then say that it's the thought that counts. It's the thought that counts, that I can pour some water on you. I mean, if the woman had come, this one says she poured it on his head. Do you understand? If she had used water, it would have been like being pondered at the camp meeting. And Jesus would have wondered, what did he say wrong? That he's being pondered at the camp meeting. Hallelujah. We must honor somebody who God has given to us. He's a gift of God to us. Amen. He's a gift. Yesterday, I was speaking to someone, and the person was telling me what they were doing. I forget who it was, but the person was telling me what they were doing. And then I was saying, hey, one small invitation. Someone invited you to church. Look at what it has become. Because someone just said, oh, let's go to church this Sunday. Come and visit my church. In that visitation, there was so much for you, you didn't even know. You see, I don't even remember the person, so I can't tell you what. But if I remember the person, I'll tell you what. Yeah. But I was saying to the person that in that little invitation, there was so much for you. You didn't even know. It was an invitation to much more than a service. It was an invitation to your life. It was an invitation to all the things you do. It was an invitation to everything. Yes, it's a lady who has been appointed a pastor. Yes. And she sent me a text this morning. Said, can I believe? Now, when it was in a church that I was pastoring that she was invited to the church the first time. That was her first entry into the church. So I was saying to her, that invitation on that day was actually an invitation to much more. Because since then, so much has happened to her. She found her husband in the church. She's found a ministry. She has gone to school to become something. So many things have come out of that. And I was just explaining that it was just a simple invitation, just like many others have received. Do you understand? But the person who creates the environment and who creates what we are all enjoying, upon whom the gift of God is resting, that person must be honored. What do you think? And he's worth a whole lot. He is worth a whole lot. He is worth and deserves all the honor that we bring to him. What do you think? Yeah? So I want to encourage you to be lovers of honor. Hallelujah. Be people who love honor. You know, when someone has given his life to create something, he deserves any honor that comes out of what he created. What do you think? If you give your life to make something happen, you deserve any and everything that comes out of what? What do you think? Yeah? One of my favorite verses, Revelation chapter 7 and verse 12. What is that? Revelation chapter 7 and verse 12. All right. Amen, amen. Blessing and glory. Well, wisdom, thanksgiving, and what? And honor. Then it says what? And power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. Can you see that? Amen, amen, blessing and glory, wisdom, thanksgiving, and honor, and power and might be unto our God forever. Amen. Now, there is another one in Revelation chapter 5, and that's also in verse 12. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 12. We can read from verse 11. It says, "And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands." Well, that's a number. What's the number? 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. What's the answer to that? But Pastor Munene, you know math. Usually Pastor Munene can just spit out the answer to these things. Yes. Pastor Munene, what's the answer to this? 10,000 times 10,000 is what? 100 million times thousands of thousands. Huh? Times 1,000 times times. Plus 1,000 times 1,000. 10,000 times 10,000. Eh? Okay, this is where you get the 100 million. And thousands of thousands. Eh? This is a million. Okay, so 100 million times a million. Or what? Plus a million. 100 million plus a million. Yeah. What about 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, which means the brackets actually goes over here. You think I don't know math? Yeah? Yeah? A lot of elders. Right. What are they saying? Verse 12. Saying with a loud voice, "Worthy, worthy, worthy." What's the meaning of worthy? Worthy, deserving, isn't it? Huh? Deserving or what? Appropriate? Qualified? What about qualified? Huh? Saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain." Do you understand? The Lamb that was slain is worthy to receive power. Can you see that? And riches, and wisdom, and strength, and honor and glory and what? Blessing. Worthy is the Lamb. Now, if you catch the Lamb at this part, where is it? Right? If you catch the Lamb from this line, you will find the Lamb has riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And you're going to say, ah, it's too much. Do you understand? It's too much. It's too much for one person. But what you miss is this part. What you miss is how the Lamb came into all of this. Do you understand? What you miss is that the Lamb was slain. Now this one, how many people who want all of this also choose this? Are you getting it? Do you realize that the world is full of people who want the power, who wants the riches, who want the wisdom, who want the strength, who want the honor, and who want the glory, and who want the blessing, but don't want the slain? Yeah. That's why the scripture doesn't start with, you know, worthy is the Lamb who has riches and so on and so on and so forth. You know, no. It's not like that. Yeah. The Lamb that was slain, the Lamb that was slain, the Lamb that was sacrificed, the Lamb that laid down his life, the one who laid down his life. I mean, when people go to medical school, they are usually looking forward to a very bright future. Yeah, you can ask Dr. Law. Is it correct? Yeah. Wendy, is what I'm saying, Gwendolyn, is what I'm saying correct? Yes. They're looking forward to specializations and looking forward. They don't go to a classroom to go and start a church where people come sometimes and don't come sometimes. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. Where a few young people are looking crazy. If, you know, when you start a church, you look funny. Because that's why sometimes you shouldn't be too discouraged when people don't come to our little church. Because it really does look funny. You see, no, seriously, you are too used to it, so you don't know that it looks funny. But it looks funny. Yeah, if you're in the meeting where you have children crisscrossing, and then you look at him, he's banging something. Look at what he's doing. Yeah, you see what I'm saying? Yeah, it looks funny. If this is different from your big, mega organized church, do you understand? Mega church, organized church with a beautiful building, with a children's department, with paintings on the wall. Sometimes the reason why the children disturb us is because there's no painting on these walls. Honestly. You get it? That's why sometimes you have to take it easy on Caleb and Cole. Just try to understand. Because it's 2 hours of living like an adult when you're a child. Yeah. 2 hours of making you have to, you know, a child, you have to sit down, put your hands in your laps like that. You see, and sit down and concentrate and hear this person who is speaking. I mean, and he's speaking and he's saying things that you don't understand, but your mother seems to understand. You get it? And he seems to be talking to your mother, and that's fine, but what are you doing here? Do you understand? Yeah. It's not an easy thing. We do look funny. When a church starts, it looks funny. Yeah. I remember the first time, it was especially in this Oakland church. And we went to church and we dressed up, you know. When I put on my suit, then I don't know if it's the devil or I don't know, but a thought occurred to me. But is it even necessary? You get considering who is going to come. You get it? Do I have to, you know? And I remember one of the places was just my family that was there, and we said, Zoe should lead praise and worship. And I put on my clothes, and I was just thinking, who am I trying to impress? These people who are here, they saw me a short while ago in my shorts. You see what I'm saying? In my pajamas. They just saw me. Now, a few minutes after that, I've changed and I've come to stand in front of the same people. Shall we what? Stop that. Yeah. It looks funny when you start a church. And you see, every day, especially if you have given your life for it, every day it will be played before you. Are you sure about what you are doing? Yeah, are you sure about what you are doing? I mean, are you not wasting your time? I remember one day I went to some place. It was a some event. I think it was an outdooring or something. And so many people, and then somebody introduced me as the pastor. Even as I came, I could see from the faces of the people that it's like, do your thing and just go. So there's no respect for what I'm about to do. And when I came, and I was young like that too. You get it? I mean, that's why you see some of these things have to come up. Just for a little respect. You get it? I just need a little bit of it. Just so at least you think of me a little more highly. But back then, it was not just flat, but it was now concave. It was like inside. It was like inside. Hey, when you stand up, you're like that. Yeah. When you wear your suit, you're not sure who is wearing who. Whether the suit is wearing you or you are wearing the suit. So you see. And there was a lady there, and she called me, and she said, "Young man, so you couldn't find any work to do, huh?" And then she repeated, "Huh? Huh? Yeah." She's like, "You're wasting your life." And I don't blame her, because it doesn't look like what a young person should be doing with his life. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. That is when the lamb is being slain. Do you understand? So those who criticize and have things against what we do for our founder, they are catching him on this side. They're getting to know him on this side. Now that there is wisdom and there is strength and there is blessing and there is glory, they think that the lamb is not worthy. It's too much. But the elders who were there, when the lamb was sent from sitting on his throne in heaven, and as they watched him and they saw him off at the airport, and they said bye-bye to him as he was going to a filthy place like the earth, to go there and to be crucified by human beings they created. Do you understand? People who are a little lower than the angels. A little lower than the angels. And these people are going to pounce on him, and they're going to, because it was all in the plan. Before he ever stepped here, it had been predetermined that he was going to have to give his life. The purpose of his life was for sacrifice. And so as the elders went to see him off, as he was leaving heaven, and as he was looking back, so am I the only one going? Said, are there any elders coming? He said, no, this is for you alone. Yeah. On the cross, he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? This is so terrible. Yeah. Because he had his moments. Look, he went into a garden and he prayed. He said, if it is possible, change this thing. Change this thing. Change this thing. If it is possible, my God, change this thing. Let me not have to die this way. Let me not have to do this, if it is possible. And God said, no, you have to do it. The Bible says angels came from heaven to strengthen him, because there was no changing of the plan. Yeah. And that's what he went through. That's up to this point. So then, after the lamb is slain, the elders who understand what it means, they all unanimously said, hey, he's worthy. He's qualified. The lamb is qualified. And they're not, it's not five of them or 10 of them or even 1,000 of them, but a number that even Pastor Munene cannot calculate. You understand? Yeah. 10 quadrillion. Is that how you write it? Raised to the power 10 quadrillion, raised to the power 16. Yeah. That's the number of elders in heaven who agree that the lamb is qualified. And if you oppose them, they have only one thing to tell you. You don't know what you are talking about. You were not there when we sent him. You do not know what he gambled and gave up to have what he has. You are coming to question his riches. You are coming to question his wisdom. You are coming to question his strength. You are coming to question the reason why at the mention of Jesus' name, every knee bows and every tongue confesses that he is Lord to the glory of the Lord. You want to question that? You want to question that? The elders say, come and see us. We'd like to have a conversation with you. Are you understanding what I'm saying? That is why the name of Jesus has such power. The riches are just a small part of it. You understand? But you see, when you live on the earth and you see everything in terms of money, then in all of this, all you see is just riches. Do you understand? So when you see Anna, you're just thinking money. Money, 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 money. But there's even more that is coming. There's wisdom that is coming. There is wisdom that is coming. The money, you may say, it comes from you, maybe. Because you are saying, give something to honor the person, which you get to withhold if you don't want. But what are you going to do about the wisdom? What are you going to do about the wisdom which is coming from God? Which God will give to him, whether you like it or not. Whether you agree with it or not. Which God is going to continue to multiply to him. What about the strength? What about the strength that God is going to give to him? What about the honor and the glory, which is the beauty and the myriad of blessings upon blessings upon blessings that are yet to come? What about that? What are you going to do about that? That's when you start to see that even your indignation is not even worth it. Because it's not going to take away from anything. It won't affect anything. Are you hearing what I'm saying? When the lamb, a person has sacrificed his life, sacrificed his future, sacrificed the future of his children. Yeah. Sacrificed the future of his children. Sacrificed even his marriage. Because I know some pastors who cannot do certain things because of their wives. Yeah. Because the wife, one pastor went on visitation when he came back. He knocked on his door like that. Then the wife opened this part of the window instead of opening the door. See, even though it takes the same effort to open the door, you see. But she opened this one. Yeah. Then she looked and she told him, wherever you went, wherever you are coming from, go and sleep there. Yeah, go and sleep there. That's right. Yeah. That's what someone said to her husband. Wherever you are coming from, go and sleep there. When all he was doing is trying to build a church. Trying to build a church. Do you understand? Yeah. So if you meet this pastor one day and God has blessed him with some riches, some wisdom, some strength, some honor, some glory, and some blessing, how dare you say, what a waste! How dare you say, what a waste? Were you there when his wife opened this window instead of the door? You get it? And if you can't come in, you can't even come in, then you bet that there's even nothing for you to eat. Yeah. You're not even allowed to come in. How much more you're coming? And if you do get in, you better make the sign of the cross and go to bed. You better go to bed immediately. Don't even stop thinking about food. Yeah. Amen. See, not everybody likes ministry. Do you see what I'm saying? So I'm just saying that you will never understand what price someone has paid to come to a certain place of honor. Do you understand? And when that opportunity is offered you to honor, if you don't have the ability to do so, just keep it there. Do you understand? But don't question the person's honor, because it did not arise from nowhere. People who deserve honor, it didn't just come from nowhere. Do you understand? Yeah. McDonald, you understand honor because you're in the military and you're honoring people all the time. You see, it doesn't just come from nowhere. Do you understand? You don't know what mountains the person has jumped. Yes. One brother was in Afghanistan, and when he got back, he said, "I cannot tell you everything that happened." Yeah, he said, "I cannot talk about everything that happened. I just know that God has given me a chance to be alive." And I could see that it's a very disturbing conversation for him to even recount his life in Afghanistan. You get it? So tomorrow they call him to the White House. Was it Medal of what? What? Medal of Honor, something, something, something. And then you stand there and you say, to what purpose is this waste? To what purpose is this waste? Do you get it? I just said, not just McDonald. We just knew him. Just McDonald. Was he not the guy in our church? Don't you remember when he came to Rancho? Something. What? Today he's. What? He's. In Ghana, we have an expression. He's come on top. He's come on top. Yeah. It means he feels like he has arrived. And he's all that. I mean, who does he think he is? But you weren't there. We weren't there when he had to dodge behind a Humvee. We weren't there. We weren't there when he had to run and live in leaves, cover himself in leaves, hey, and not shower, no bath, for days and days and days, wearing boots that don't come off. Oh, in the heat, you see. You, when you see, you take your clothes off and you're lying on the beach. That's not what these guys do with heat. Hallelujah. So I hope you're encouraged today to understand why we must honor the person that God has given to us. Hallelujah. You know, 2 Samuel chapter 18. You know, somebody sent me this verse this morning, and I thought I'd just share it with you. Verse 1. And David numbered the people that were with him, and set captains of thousands and captains of hundreds over them. Verse 2. And David sent forth a third part of the people under the hand of Joab, and a third part under the hand of Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, Joab's brother, and a third part under the hand of Ittai the Gittite. And the king said unto the people, "I will surely go forth with you, myself also." Can you see that? The king said, "I'm coming along too." But the people answered, "Thou shalt not go forth." No, don't come. "For if we flee away, they will not care for us. Neither if half of us die, will they care for us. But thou art worth 10,000 of us. Therefore now, it is better that thou succor us out of the city." Hallelujah. Amen. And the king said unto them, "What seemeth you best, I will do." Hallelujah. These guys were going to fight, and David said, "I want to come along too." He divided the people and said, "You guys go with this person, you guys go with this person, you guys go, and I'm coming along too." And the people said, "No, you shouldn't come along with us." Yeah. That all human lives do not have the same value. That's a little different from what you know. What you know is all men are created equal. Do you understand? But these people said all human lives do not have the same value. Then he said, "Your value is 10,000 of us. It will take. If they kill even half of us," he said, "it won't change much." Do you understand? He says, "It won't change much. Don't come. We can't have you exposed to this. Because If we die, even half of us, it won't change much. Do you understand? But if you come and you die, a problem has come. Do you understand? And we have to learn to think about it. Sometimes when you want to know someone's value, you have to compare if that person died versus if you die. that's, and then you just keep the answer in your head. Yeah. If that person dies, what will it change? Do you understand? But if you die, what will it change? You see, or even if the person didn't die, the person left the church. Say, if you leave the church, what will it change? Then if that person also, if he woke up one day and said, you know what? I am divorcing myself from this whole Lighthouse thing. I don't want to have anything to do with it again. Do you understand? Yeah, some people say, I'm going with him. Yeah. That would probably be the end of Lighthouse. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. But if you left, that one, the answer is right, because people have been leaving. Do you understand? Usually everybody knows someone who has left. Yes, and it doesn't change. Even the people who left and were shaking and making all kinds of things, we will show you in 6 months what is church growth. We are going to show you this. You see whether the church will work without me. This, all those people, where are they? There's, we've been here for a long time, and we've just watched people to leave, and we've rather watched how those people rather shrivel and shrink, and gradually they are not even. You have to even look and ask for them to even know if they exist. Can't even find them. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. So we shouldn't get too religious. Do you understand? And start to think that, you know, oh, by the way, when it's my birthday, the church doesn't talk about it. They don't announce it so much. You know, when it's my birthday, they don't. Why are they making so much noise about one person's birthday? One person. Yes. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah? Because it's not the same value. That's the truth. What do you think? Is it real? Is it in the Bible? It's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. Where's verse 3? Verse 3. What did the people say? They said, thou shalt not go forth, for if we flee away, they will not care for us. Neither if half of us die. These are the guys going to the bathroom. They say, if half of us die, will they care for us? They will not care for us. Do you understand? But now, thou art worth 10,000 of us. So it's you alone. You are worth 10,000 of us. So please, we beg you, just stay here. Yeah. Same thing with the army generals, isn't it? Yes? They will stay here, then they will just send these guys. Yes? They draw the whole battle plan on paper and analyze the battle with computers. Then these people have to go and fight it with a gun. If God is not on your side, that's it for you. Can I have an amen? Amen? How many understand that? So, are we going to honor the person God has given to us? Amen. So, we are talking about the founding of the church. Yeah. That's different from when we come to November or September, October, it says, we're going to have Galatians 6:6. That's the feeding of the church. That's a different thing. That's your pastor. Do you understand? Yeah, because as you see, are you not being blessed as we are sharing from the art of ministry already? Yeah? How to work for God and how to even work for yourself. You see what I'm saying? It's feeding. Do you understand? The person who gives us all this must also be honest. Say, hey, he's going to have a lot of money. Worthy is the lamb that was slain to receive riches and honor and glory. And what he wants to do with it, let him do what he wants to do with it. You see what I'm saying? Yeah? Now we must do our duty. We must do our part. What do you think? Yeah? Same reason why children must honor their mothers today. Yeah? It's true that the mothers are richer than all the children. You get it? But it's not an excuse for the children not to honor, or even the fathers not to leave the children to honor these mothers. What do you think? Yeah, you honor them, and what they want to do with it, let them do with it. Yeah. They want to give it back to the children, so be it. They want to, whatever they want to do with it, let them do with it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, just to fulfill our righteousness, let me just give you 1 point. I should just give you 1 point from, because I just need to at least, you know, because we are having vision 5 to 7, isn't it? We were talking about types, 10 types of workers. We talked about people who are sons and daughters, workers who have the same spirit as the leader, workers who work for you because they owe their whole life to you, workers who are prone to abandoning you, isn't it? That was 4. And the last one was workers who refresh you. That's 5. So 6 is workers who are servants of the church. Workers who are servants of the church. It says, I commend you to Phoebe. I commend you, Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Centuria. Okay, Romans chapter 16 and verse 1. Phoebe is described as a servant of the church. It says, there are people who bestow much service on the church in general. They are a blessing to many people. The impact of the servants of the church is seen best when they die. I have never forgotten the different people who have served me through the years. Some have made themselves into errand boys and girls. They have served and helped in almost every imaginable capacity. I know that God will bless them on the day of judgment. Although most church members' deaths go unnoticed, the whole church feels the loss of the Phoebes of the ministry. Phoebe, without using the pulpit, touched the lives of many people. Hallelujah. Amen. Isn't that a blessing? Said that Phoebe is described as a servant of the church. It's like the church owns the person, and the person lives for the church, and the person's life is dedicated to the church. Hallelujah. It's a type of worker in the church. There are people like that, even in this, our church. People who live and breathe the church. They are owned by the church. Do you understand? Yeah. I mean, I didn't want to mention any names, but you see, when I think of this girl right here, right, you see, for example, why are you not mentioning my name? Okay, so I'll stop. But I just wanted to, you see, when I was watching her pack all the, she has this container. And I think you can, if you're leaving home and you're coming to church and you forget anything, don't worry about going back for it. I'm sure there's some in that box, including shoes. I'm sure you can find shoes, something that will fit you. So when you leave home and you've forgotten anything, don't worry about going back for it. You just come. When you come, Amy has some in that bag. She has everything in her trunk. She has, you know, she even has a restroom in her trunk. Okay. Yeah. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. She's Zola. She drives around LA. She knows every place. To go and find people. Yeah. Yeah. The other day she told me she wants to buy a smaller car. I said, why? She said, smaller cars use less gas. I said, See, you start to feel it at a point. Yeah. That's why if the Lord touches your heart, you should bless her with gas. That's not begging anybody for gas, but I mean, it's a good blessing. What do you think? There's nothing wrong with coming to church. Oh, here's a gift card for you. I just got a gift card, $20, $30, $50, whatever. Here's some gas just to bless you. We see all the things you do. You understand? And our church is really blessed because all of you people, Daniel, I mean, he never misses that text message. Huh? Hey! Wherever you are, it will find you. Hey! I said, who is this man who won't give us rest? Hey! You'll be doing something on your phone. Huh? Then suddenly the phone, please don't forget to set your alarm for so and so. Hey! We're talking about servants of the church. Yeah. And it's a blessing. You understand? We could go on. And I think our church is uniquely blessed with all these people. You get it? People who just lay down their lives. I mean, they're just dying for the church. We'll do anything like this guy right here. You know, I mean, they just, you see what I'm saying? Yeah. They just lay down their lives, anything church, and they are running. You see, sometimes when he comes back from whatever, he has this thing he's been doing. I mean, we don't have peace in the house. The rattling of drums. And sometimes I watch my wife, it looks like she has changed. Yeah, because some time ago, even me, my music that I'm playing was a problem. But now, a greater than me. See, my music was a problem, yeah. And she sits in my car. As soon as she sits in my car, she goes for the radio dial. It's too loud. Too loud. Hey. Wow. Controlling me. But the Lord has given her much. Hey. You should hear a house. That's how for hours is going on in the house. Yeah? But it's a blessing. You understand? All these people, Paul, right here, is a blessing. Servants of the church. The church owns them. Do you understand? Will drive anywhere. In that little box. Hey, you see, about 2 a.m., he said he's going to Palm Springs. In that little box. Yeah? And I think when he's driving the car, he forgets that it's just a little box. It's just the speed. If one of these squirrels goes under the car, they can lift it. If the squirrel goes under the car, they'll just lift the car like that. You see. But you see, he's palming the thing. I think he thinks he's driving a Mercedes. But listen, all of you who sing Wendy, Lord, Tori, you know, Jifa, all of you, Pastor Charles, Maureen, right there, you know, who you see her today, I saw her, she has bought a special bus. I even thought it belonged to the. So when we were locking the door, I saw her holding it. And I said, hey, but the brush, please, you have to put it down. They said, oh, no, it's my personal brush. Bring in a personal dust and pan brush to come and sweep the church. Hey, it's a gift, though. It's a gift. Because in some churches, when you close, everybody has vanished. You see the pastor himself holding the broom. Because he is the servant of God. Wow. He said he's called. So he should sweep the church. And you see he's just collecting everything, dusting every place and so on. But I just want to say thank you to all of you who do all these amazing things that you do just to help the church be the church that it is. Do you understand? And I want you to know that God will remember you. See, the scripture says, in the Lord, in the Lord, in the Lord, Eric, in the Lord, your labor is not in vain. Do you understand? It's not useless. If it's in the Lord, if you did it for your boss, it's questionable. Have you not done something for your boss before when you think, oh, you know, thank you, but the plan has changed. Yeah, it's in vain. And you, as you're walking away, you're just thinking, you know, you wish that something would drop from the ceiling to hit his head just for a little lesson. You know, but look at what God is doing for us. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. God has blessed us with all these people. Pastor Munene, who comes from... Sometimes I just wonder if he forgets to come. What is going to happen to us? Hey! Even the maneuvering of that trailer, one day you should follow him to see where and how he packs that thing. Yeah? To maneuver that trailer, and so he's packing it in the dark. There's no light. And he packs it. You see, it's like exactly 5.5 inches from the wall. Same spot all the time. You know, but he's been like that for a long time, from New York, when he used to have a certain car, a blue Acura stick shift. Yeah, you see, the car is loaded with church things and is moving through town. And you see, the wheels have become like that. That car, when we were moving to Atlanta, they made the car drive to Atlanta. By the time the car had 5 gears, 5 forward gears, 1 reverse. By the time they got to Atlanta, only 1 was left. Mm-hmm. And that was number 3. And number 3 is more like the average gear, so it allows you to go forward. But that's what was left. The car came from New York, and when it parked in the place, said, this is it. That was the last trip, the last journey. Even to go for sale, it won't go. it's enough. Okay, let's just go and I'll sell you. He says, no, you're going to have to lift me from here. Yeah, I'm not moving an inch. You know, it's a gift from God. All these people, they are gifts from God. Servants of the church. Servants of the church. When you belong to a church, your membership must be such that when you leave, we miss you. When you can't come to church, it's a problem. Yeah. You see? And I see that that's what I have here, because when anybody tells me, oh, I'm going, Apostle, I'm not going to be able to come. So, you know, last week Maureen told me that they have to do some work or something. I almost cried. I was just standing in front of her and I didn't know what to think. You see, but that's how it should be. It should be that when you're not going to come to church, the pain is felt. Don't worry about the pain. But it's a good pain. It's good for you that we feel that way when you will not be able to come to church. Everybody is going to go through something like that one day. You can't come because of this, that. It's not a problem. But it's good for you that that's how we feel. You get it. But if you don't come to church and it's like, oh, really? Okay. Oh, it won't be anything in challenge. And then nobody is even calling after you. Please. It's not a good meaning. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. And you can be, because God has also given you what you can contribute to what is going on here. Okay. There was a woman called Dorcas, and she died. The Bible says she was full of good works. She used to do plenty of things for the church, you know, Dorcas. And she died. When she died, it said all the people came to her because she had made T-shirts for the church members, so many things, different tunics and things like that, tops for people in the church. And so the church people came and said, no. They said, since there was at Joppa a certain woman, a certain woman named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did, right? Then came to pass that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed and laid her in an upper chamber. Verse 38. And for as much as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. This is at the wake, you see.
Yeah.
And then verse 39 says, and Peter arose and went with them, and when he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping, and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them. See, these widows didn't cry like that when their husbands went. You see, they didn't send for Peter. You see, but there is a disciple who can mean more to you than even what is going on with the husbands here. I don't know, but that's what I'm thinking. You see. And then he said, the Bible says, she was showing the coats that she had made while she was with them. Verse 40. But Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed, and turning him to the body said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes. When she saw Peter, she sat up. Wow. She said, you are too precious to die. You mean too much to the church to die. Who's going to make our t-shirts? Who's going to make our coats? You get it? Look at all these widows. They depend on you for making all these t-shirts for their little children. And so they were holding the coats at the funeral. They said, we cannot let this person go. Please. We can allow a day off. She can't come to church today. We can handle that. She's gone on vacation for 2 weeks. We can handle that. But to go permanently? No. Peter, as for this one, you have to do something. And even Peter, when he came, he looked at the situation. He said, no. Lord, as for this one, you got to do something about it. So sometimes, you see, the way you're connected to the church, you see, it makes people pray for you. Yeah. It makes people pray for you. You know, let me show you one final verse. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Wow, it's time to close. Has been time to close for a while. Okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Paul says, well, let's take it outside. All right. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Okay. Paul is talking about giving. Okay. And he's talking about giving. All right. Chapter 9. Both chapter 8 and chapter 9 are talking about giving. Now, look at verse 12. He says, for the administration of this service, not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Do you understand that? What he's saying is that when you give to the saints, because Paul was talking about, you know, the people, they have given so much and so on, we can't have the time to go through that. But he was explaining the effect of what you do. And he said that the effect of this service, whatever you are doing, it does not only supply the want of the saints, but it generates many thanksgivings to God. Do you understand that?
Yeah.
It generates many thanksgivings to God. Now, if you were there and a lot of people started sending you a message, thank you, Pastor Charles. Thank you, Pastor Charles. Thank you, Pastor Charles. Are you not going to wonder who is generating all this? What's making all these people say thank you? And then you're going to find out that LPAC actually gave everybody a candy and told them, Pastor Charles said I should give it to you. Are you getting what I'm saying? So that's what's going on. It says, it's abundant by many thanksgivings to God. And then the next verse, verse 13, quickly, please. Whilst by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. Then, next verse. And by their prayer for you. Can you see that?
Yeah.
By their prayer for you. Who? Which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you. You understand? He's saying that the people long for you, and yet it's not you. It's the whatever God is using you to do for them. That's what they are longing for. Do you understand? And he says that when you have people who feel that way about you, they pray for you. He says, by their prayer for you, which long for the exceeding, what? Exceeding grace of God in you. Then in verse 15, it says, thanks be God. Thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah? The unspeakable gift is the gift of serving and doing something for the saints of God. Yeah. He says, these people, they long for the, they give thanks to God all the time. And they thank God for your life, for your professed subjection to Jesus Christ. They are grateful to God for your life. And then by their prayer for you, which long after you, those who have a yearning for you, they long after you for the exceeding grace of God that is in you. That is through you, they experience God in a way. Whatever it is, whether you lead the worship or you lead the prayer or you organize the people together or you serve the people with food. And so it's a grace that God has given. And when it's not there, we miss it. Do you understand? And those people pray for you. Yeah. You never know when the Holy Ghost has hijacked your tongues to make intercession for someone. You thought you were praying for your shoes. Your little shoe that is spoiled, you have gone to sit down and you're praying in tongues for 1 hour over shoes. The Lord has directed your tongue altogether and gone into the prayer for someone, just interceding for someone else. Yeah, because of what the person means to you and to the house of God. So I just want to encourage you all to keep serving. Do you understand? Keep doing what you do, Gwendolyn. Keep doing what you do. You know, you come to church, these kids will harass you, but you still keep coming. Keep doing what you do. Keep doing what. Never ask, what is the use? To what purpose is this waste? Never ask, what is the use of me going to say, I can't even hear anything? Never ask that question. There's a point at which even your physical presence in the church is your contribution. Do you understand? You see how sometimes they have to, when they are making movies, they have to let people walk across and they pay, what do they call them? They extras, yes. Yeah, because without them, the thing doesn't look like a town. You can't just show up with your camera and then the main actor and you're just following him and you say he's gone shopping and he's just in town. You can't do that. You need some people that just need to walk casually by. They are not even looking. You need something. You need all those extras. And so, and in California, it's a job that people do. Yeah, in LA. Yeah, yes, people do that. Maybe you should start looking for some of these extras. Yes. Do you see? The worst ones are the comedians. You see these comedy shows? They need to assemble an audience. People who actually will laugh. Don't you realize that sometimes it's when the people laugh that you realize the thing is funny? Yeah, you are watching the thing, but it's not yet funny to you. But the way the audience laughs, it makes you feel it must be funny. Then you also start laughing. So there is even a contribution to the church, which is just Eric, just coming to church, just coming with your sophisticated cell phone and golden accessories. You see, and your Eric, what is this guy? What is this guy? This guy, this one here. Is that a surface? Yeah. You see, because he has these type of sophisticated things. That itself is a blessing. It's a ministration because it ministers encouragement. Yeah, otherwise we won't even look like a church. Yeah, you see somebody who come and open it up. You are having church, they open it up. Where is the church? So we are looking for the church. You are looking for the church. This is the church. This is the church. That's how we look. Have you experienced that before? Somebody has been invited to church and the person has arrived at the church and Oh, they even pass by the church to look for the church. Hey, it's not an easy thing. Hallelujah. So all of you are greatly appreciated. Amen. Your physical presence coming to sit there faithfully in the church itself is a blessing to the church. And one day God will reward you. One day when you also start something, God will send people who will come and sit in it to make it look like it's a real thing. To make it look like it is working. You start a business, God will look for some people and just come. You start a school and someone will trust you enough to send their precious child to your school. Yeah. Because without that, you say you're a school. When they come, you say, and mothers, and when they are looking for school for their child, they'll come and assess everything and they'll be smelling the cups and everything in the school. Hey. And then they'll come home and say that the school, when I went, it doesn't look like a school. What school is this that the teachers were sitting down, they didn't seem to have anything to do. That's it. That's your end. And they are going to spread the word. Tell everybody that don't take your child to that place. It's not a school. Meanwhile, you need them to bring the children for the anointing in you to arise. Hallelujah. So don't take for granted the person who trusts you the first time and says, you know, I'll still do it. You look young, but I'll still come to your church. You look small, but I'll still come. Your choir sounds funny, but yeah. One day I saw a certain choir in a church. You see, their father was in the choir, and then his little son was also in the choir. Not playing, not, you see, there's a type of choir singing where it's babysitting. The person is looking after his child. The child won't let him go to the choir. So he has to go with it. No, but this one, the child is a serious member. And he's like 6 years old. And I said, because that's who the church has. And they start to sing. And as they sing, they're singing, the father comes. As they're singing, the child is standing in front of the father. And the father is just going like that. Choir is this? But it all comes together. When you see it and the glory has come, don't question why the Lamb is worthy of what is being given to him. Stand to your feet and let's bring the service to a close. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you so much for today and thank you for everything you have taught us today. We pray, Lord, that you will help us honor the gift you have given us. May we not be like those disciples who questioned the honor of Christ, the man of God that you had sent to them. We pray, Lord, that you will help us to love and to cherish and appreciate the gift and say that, yes, you gave him to us. We will honor him. We're not ashamed to do that. And thank you, Father, for all these amazing servants of God, servants of the church, amazing Phoebes that you have given us, different people contributing in different ways to make your work go on. Lord, I pray and thank you for all those I remembered, all those I couldn't remember, I pray, Lord, thank God that you remember everything, even what we do not see that people are doing. Thank God that you notice every small contribution anyone makes to your work. I pray, Lord, that you bless them, remember them, bless them as you promised. Let them experience the promises of God. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.